Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Babysitting Trevor, the pandemic years. It's like a sort of weird series of a, you know,
it's
in a
not
show.
The college years, it's like the college years of Saved by the Bell, which I'm sure means nothing to Trev, which actually, in a way, I thought was quite, it kind of gone on a notch. You lost a couple of the key characters, but
yeah,
I still enjoyed it.
It's good to know.
There you go. and then in this version, it's just Trevor...
Three different time Trev's zones. Flat. Trev's in his flat. I'm in my flat. You're in your flat. But all in different countries.
Do you know what I was? Do you know what I was thinking? I was walking my dog before doing this, and I was thinking, Trev's in his flat that he got for free. Carl's in a flat where he's convinced the landlords to run off to a monastery for 5 years, Benny Boo, and then basically get a very discounted, nice flat. I'm the only one here who's paying the correct rate for my flat. I will say, not as good as you guys, I get on very well with the landlord and he's never up my rent when he has with other people. So right. I think we've learned here, guys, if you're part of this podcast, you're not paying full price for a flat.
What we've learned is, oh, go on. Yeah. That was when you learned the skill of manipulating people out of properties.
Well,
that's when you open up the secret to stealing houses. So Trev, you're in Sydney. Last time we spoke, you were in Adelaide. How was it like being back in Sydney?
Sydney was, Julia hated it. Julia fucking hates Sydney. You know, she's got no friends here. I'm very unsociable. Motaz is the only friend I've got, really.
For listeners, Motaz is the guy who had to set up Trev's mic.
Yeah, that's right.
You've basically got helpers in every city in the world. Wherever you go, you'll always ship someone in to do your hard work for you.
Shine a T into the sky and then someone comes to help.
It's a vulnerability. I look very vulnerable, like I need to be helped.
I know.
And somehow not kind people go, oh, I better help Trev. He's a lost soul.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of I must admit I totally depend on other people.
Yeah, it's nice you finally admitted it to yourself.
I'm a true parasite.
You are a true parasite.
How long have you been back there? A month?
Oh, longer than that. I think been back about 10 weeks, 9 weeks or something.
Bloody hell!
Yeah.
How many times have you left your flat?
Not very much. I went last week. I left the flat. I went 2 or 3 days without leaving it whatsoever.
Really?
This isn't lockdown based. This is just Trev normal based, isn't it?
You
were the OG of lockdown, which is where you just never left your flat anyway.
This is my natural state, is fucking lockdown. You know what I mean? It's because I can't be fucked leaving it. I've got all the I've got food in the fridge, and I've got beer, and I've got the internet. And I've got the television and a heater and an air conditioner. And I go, why should I? There's no need to leave, really. I go to the park. I went to the park today.
Yeah.
I did some chin-ups and a few dips. And I went for a bit of a walk. But otherwise, I wouldn't fucking leave it. No advantage.
lovely message there for our listeners.
I can't help but notice, Trev, you've got a pen and some paper, which is... Is that to do? Is that you? Have you prepared for the podcast?
Well, no. Yeah. Well, Julia said, you know, she likes Babysitting Trevor, but she said if you put some work into it, it might actually be better.
Is this? Are you just doing this to prove a thing? Have you even written this thing on the paper?
I understand what Julia is saying, but I also think weirdly our listeners. I think what attracts them to the podcast is your lack of effort. I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Your charm is your ability to sort of work your way through life without putting
that's
any.
It's not much effort. That I've worked out the wordage is about 38 words.
Give me a couple of words on there and tell us what's on there. Tell us
what have you got on there.
One is a skid mark on the sofa that happened just recently. Fucking.
Is it a recent one? Because you've had that before.
I found today a skid mark on the sofa.
Oh, no. Skid mark. Jesus.
It could have been, I mean, it might be an old one. Julie could have left it, but I don't think it's.
I doubt the two of you, I think we know who did it. Come on.
He asked me to bet £100.
Because have you been wearing just pants on the sofa a lot?
Yeah, I've sat naked on the sofa.
Obviously you're going to give a skid mark then. Jesus.
Yeah, I've learned my lesson.
Also, listeners can't see, but you've got a cream or slash light grey sofa.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which is absolute madness.
Showed up really, really badly.
Anyone who has light bedding or a light sofa, I think, is so confident.
Yeah.
I will just say that just the way you're making it sound, Carl, is everyone sits on their sofa naked, which I don't think
But do you not like? I eat
food
on the sofa. I drink on the sofa. If I had a cream sofa, it would be fucked within a week, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Also, I've never got a baby, so our baby has pissed on the sofa twice already. So you know, I'd worry. I think I couldn't have a light sofa with my lifestyle.
Just a quick question on the skid mark, Trev.
Yeah.
What did you do when you found it?
Flip the cushion.
I went, fuck. And then I got a tissue, I put it on the hot water tap, and I came back and
it was gone. I scrubbed
it into the sofa or it's disappeared. But I think it's disappeared, actually.
Okay, that's good. So there you go. That's
skid mark heaven.
What's it been like? Why is it been? Because it's not been warm there. It's winter time, isn't it?
I'm missing London, actually.
Why did you not come back?
Well, there was all kind of ships in the Australian government that didn't advise people to travel. And then Julie had to wear a mask for 20 hours on the fucking plane.
Yeah,
you can take it off for meals, and then when you're eating, the virus leaves you alone. It's fucking remarkably polite fucking virus, and I couldn't stand being in a mask. And then when she got back, she had a bad chest. She had a chest infection. You know, from wearing the mask, you're breathing out your own CO2 and shit.
That could also be plane. I know, like I know loads of people that get colds when they get off a plane just because of the recycled air constantly for 24 hours, isn't it? So
yeah,
actually,
that's
quite
right.
Common. It's probably more that than it is Mars.
I actually found out that the air that comes straight onto you is actually one of the best filtration systems. It's like having an N95 mask for filters. If that's hitting you, the worst thing is other people near you coughing.
Yeah.
That air is good.
Put a tube on it and just put it straight into your mouth. Just slap that air off.
Maybe just like you, as soon as you walk on, you smash the top and you bring down one of those masks. You just wear that.
But I thought it was very uncertain as well. I didn't want to land in England and land in a place that's fucking worse than here. You know what I mean? So I did want to go back, but I thought I don't want to be worse off, even though Julie is there and I'd be with her. By the same token, I didn't want to be at the mercy of that fuckwit Boris Johnson on what he's.
But what's the take? Because obviously Sydney's not—they're not doing it in New South Wales at the minute. But is there any fear of them going down the same route as Victoria, which is just fucking crazy?
Yeah, it's always there because you know they can pull this card anytime they like. You know, once you submit to it, they go fuck. We can use this one again for any reason. So as soon as they find an infection. Which means fuck all, no one's dying, right? But there's a few infections around. But so he gives a fuck if there's infections around. If you're not dying, it doesn't fucking matter. And so they can use that as a pretext to shut down all the time, and they could do it continually.
I mean, if it was an infection where your cock fell off, I'd worry about that one. You know, if there's infections where there are, you don't have to just die for it to be.
I said a while back, it's one of those diseases where you just like, just saw a guy's bleeding out of his ear, then we'd all be like taking it way more seriously. But it's just
if your cock fell off, I wouldn't pick it up. But
really? I would. If one of your cocks fell off, I would put it in ice and get you to the hospital and help out. I'd help out, pick it up with my bare hands.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Really?
I'm a nice guy.
And I just... I was going to make those immature jokes.
Yeah, the trouble was, I mean, Julie is a very social creature.
Yeah.
And she's used to, you know, going around all London and Oxford Circus, and she's stuck in this fucking shithole, which is like Kabul or somewhere like that in Afghanistan. And it's not very friendly here. It's not very friendly at all to women, particularly women. It's not very friendly at all. And she just fucking hated it.
You're describing your flat.
I was like, what are you talking about? There's shit on the sofas.
Being rude to her all the time.
She was confined to this
very tough
flat.
Place for a woman to be. Get me some more food.
You make your part of Sydney where your flat is sound. I bet it's not as bad as you make out. Yes, I.
Well, you've only left it about four times.
I tell you what it's like. If we compare it to England, it's probably somewhere. If you get the poor areas of Croydon, it's probably something like that.
But even I suppose. But even I suppose London's changed a lot in the last 20 years. But people talk about gentrification, like Brixton and places that used to be rough. But the Brixton's always had rough. It was always rough, but there was also good aspects to it. You know, it was still, there's always a positive. You speak only overwhelmingly negative about your area.
Yeah. Well, there's nowhere to go here. There's no al fresco coffee shops. There's no libraries closed. There's no bookshops.
Al fresco coffee shop. Yeah, that's right. A funny thing to want, isn't it?
Yeah. So there's nowhere to go.
So where's the nearest? How far would the nearest al fresco coffee shop be?
or library.
You'd probably have to go to Bankstown, and that's very unpleasant. That's fucking worse than here. That's you're downgrading when you go to Bankstown. That's fucking...
And how far is that away?
It's about three stops on the train.
Okay.
Right.
We've got the Surrenders Mall that is like 90% of Bankstown is the mall.
Yeah.
So I guess you never leave, but why do you like... If you don't even... You don't like your area, why do you like being in Sydney?
Yeah, when I first moved to Sydney, there's a lot of comedy work here, and I was doing Channel 9, I was doing the Midday Show, which is used to be a famous fucking, you know, entertainment show at midday, hence the name, the Midday Show, mm-hmm. It was on midday, and fucking genius name.
Bit early for you, Trev, wasn't it?
they would call me on the day, they'd phone me up at 9 o'clock, and say, Trev, you want to be on today, and I'd be prepared with my act, you know,
yeah,
I put my act into like 3-minute spots. And then I'd just go in and do it. So here was a great place to be. I get television here, and I would gigging all over.
The Breakfast Show.
Other one?
Well, you used to call it the Breakfast Show because it was at midday.
Yeah, if you're unemployed, it was the Breakfast Show.
That was like, this is a sign how tired I am. It took me that long to work that joke out. It's like a 30-second gap.
So back then it was like a real hub for me, and I wasn't home that much. I was always traveling, gigging, and I'd come back here for a bit of respite, and it was okay, but I was busy. I was doing television, and now my career has died in its ass, you know. Even Motaz is getting more fucking gigs than me, and so now it's got
For the tech support, Motaz.
Cheers, Motaz, mate. Thanks for helping him out. It's really kind of you.
But I shouldn't be here, really. There's no reason for me to be here. It's only that I'm so insecure when I leave here. This feels like home in a way, but I haven't got the guts to go fuck it and walk out.
How far is it into town? Like, how far would it be to Circular Quay on the train?
On the train, it's a 7-minute walk to the station, and then it's about a 23-minute train journey.
Okay,
so
it's only half an hour from the centre of the hub of Sydney.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's a pretty good location in that respect. Yeah. Anyway,
apart from the whole Kabul and no alfresco coffee vibes.
Yeah, that's right. So, but I'm so I should leave. I should go to Adelaide because I like Adelaide better. But yeah, there's no work for me here, and you know, and I get fucking, you know, I'm so adaptable in a way that I can adjust to misery quite well, and I just put up with it like I put up with a toothache, you know. It's probably not wise, is it? It's wise thing to do is to fuck off, you know.
Yeah. Well, they always say, you should always remove the aspects of your life that cause you misery rather than just accept them as part of life.
Yeah, sell the flat, mate. Give me and Carl, you know, a third of each of the money. You know, pay forward what was given to you.
Yeah. The point is, I've never had many friends in Sydney. I mean, Motaz is only the fourth comedian to be in here in 27 years. He's only the fourth comic to fucking cross over the threshold.
It's a specific number. Yeah. You put notch in the bedpost every time a comedian comes in.
I just don't like people over here. I mean, Motaz is all right. I'm a little bit uneasy, but he's a nice enough company. But, you know, but so... I'm just used
why
to
why can't you just
company,
be nice? Why can't you
be nice to him? He's helped
be
you out.
Be nice to Motaz.
I'm very territorial. I thought he might fucking...
Yeah, yeah, no, you shit. You wipe your own shit on the sofa, Jeff. That's pretty territorial. Yeah. So, but, so would you be like? Could we do a look? Could you? Would you? You know, you must miss Julia. Could you? Yeah. Could you hatch a plan to have 30 meals to eat on the flight, so that every time they come, you have no mask on?
Yeah. But
if you don't want to wear a mask, that is.
It's funny you mentioned food and Julia, because I'd never prepared a meal. Like in 19 months since I had that fucking stroke, I haven't prepared one meal. And suddenly my head fucking chef just fucked off, right? And right. So I'm in a position where, how do I cook? You know,
what's happened?
I didn't know where to start. And then she said, well, roast a potato. I said, I can't roast a fucking potato.
Where do I start roasting one potato?
Just start easy and work your way up.
And after that, mate, microwave a pea.
Today I'm moving up to two potatoes.
It's a protein source, and then you need, you know, a carb of some description. So I started off slowly. Julia left me directions on how to prepare basic food. And then I did prepare roast potatoes, and I phoned her up and said, fuck, they're really good. I fucking like a major accomplishment that I roasted a fucking potato rather well.
Right.
And then I chucked some chicken with it, and I thought, no, I can do this. And then last night I made a pasta with chicken mince in it and tomato stuff. It was fucking great. It was really good.
Here we go. You're doing it, mate. You don't need her anymore.
I'm not a totally hopeless cunt. I am capable of fucking doing basic stuff, and
survival line for the episode. I'm
not a hopeless cunt.
That's good though, because you've never. Yeah, it's good that's a positive to come out of sort of the isolation cooking. Because I use cooking as a sort of a tool to like. I find it very relaxing and use it as a. You know, when things are busy, I actually find that break of just cooking something really focusing, and I really like it.
So. You're very good at it. Yeah, I mean, you're a good vegan cook, you know what I mean? And,
I am, yes.
Because you're good at it, you get like a satisfaction.
Yeah, definitely.
No satisfaction in it. But I am getting better, so I'm sort of, you know.
Yeah, but it's also, I think there is it's a mind frame as well. People who aren't good at it or don't like it see cooking as a chore, where I'm the opposite. I see it as a pleasure. Yeah.
I was too very lazy. I just sit here. One day, Julia said to me, she brought me crumpets every morning, a cup of tea. I brought me crumpets. And then one day, I said, I wouldn't mind some vitebrits. And then she said, well, why didn't you eat them before? I said, because they weren't brought to me. So I was giving.
What is vitebrits?
Oh, it's like a Weet-Bix.
I like Weetabix, right.
Weetabix. Yeah. And she said, why didn't you have some, you know, I said, because they weren't brought to me. You know, I'll eat what's brought to me. I couldn't
cereal, famously the easiest food to ever prepare.
Yeah, I'm doing it now, though. I'm doing Vitabrits every day. And
You learn how to cook Vitabix.
You learn how to put something in a bowl.
and then pour something on it.
Of course, that's true.
My ex-wife Hattie, she felt that I was very lonely when Julia left, and so she brought me a couple of plants. I've got a couple of indoor plants.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm glad that's how that bit ended.
And like they're living matter. I mean, I can't say they're very stimulating to fucking have around, but they're living matter. So I, when I get up in the mornings, I sometimes I say hello to them and like they're fucking people.
It's good for their. That's this phase, like, you know, like this
carbon
sort of,
dioxide photosynthesis.
Yeah, exactly. That's why people think talking to plants is weird, but actually, you are providing them when you speak with what they need to thrive.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, no, you're given a they take in carbon dioxide, don't they? So
it's scientific fact. Yeah.
And you breathe out, they breathe in, and it's a reciprocal thing. So the more house plants you have in your house, the more oxygen they produce.
And they breathe out, I breathe in. That's fucking, yeah. You don't want to get that mixed up where fucking I breathe out and they breathe
in. You start sucking your plants.
Yeah, sucking your plants off.
I accidentally left, I left one of them next to a PowerPoint with that all that radiation.
Oh, God.
And it's become like a big green hand coming out of the soil, like a fucking alien hand. And it's quite, if you look at it, it's quite fucking frightening.
What is it, an aloe vera or something?
I've got aloe vera, then there's another plant called an auntie's, it's named after it. Was it an auntie or a?
I don't know.
It's got a name for it. It's like auntie's.
Do you mean mother's, mother-in-law's tongue?
Oh, mother-in-law, is that it?
Mother-in-law's tongue, the sort of green pointy.
Yeah.
Because Carl will please to know, I once killed an aloe vera plant, which is very easy, but now I'm in charge of the plants and I'm really enjoying
it. You killed a yucca tree, mate, which is unheard of. They are so
hard.
They live in deserts.
I was in my 20s. In your front room. Now I'm a bit of a green finger. So I've got a few that I care for. I've got a nice little one in the corner, like a hanging one that's coming down nice and low.
Spider, or is it someone else?
No, I forget the name. It's quite an easy one to look after. But yeah, started talking to them as well. Lovely. It's nice.
Your flat looks very nice, Chris. From here, it looks very.
Yeah, it's good. This is another little one. I got that for my.
You've made it into a home, yeah.
It's next to the Wi-Fi router, which is famously good for plant growth.
Yeah, I know. You can give it a bit of 4G radiation. Yeah. Fucking that, so.
There's my dog. Have you ever shown you this one? There's a picture of my dog.
I saw you put this on Colonel. Who gave you that?
Our friends Dave and Emma out here. They've got. There's a website where you just put your dog in various ridiculous outfits.
You can get
Where's Hannah at the moment? Is Hannah home or?
She's asleep, Trev, because it's 20 past 12 in the morning. Well, she's in bed anyway. I can't vouch for whether she's asleep or not, but
yeah.
She sends her best. It's quite hard at times to get them all right. Carl's, surprised you haven't heard your baby crying yet or anything.
Yeah,
in the other room having a sleep.
What's it like having a baby?
Hannah is with her.
You've been practicing for a baby with Trevor. Now you've got a real baby.
Yeah, it's actually much easier having a real baby, to be honest.
Is a baby okay? You haven't picked up anything where it could be like mentally disturbed or something.
Nothing
like that?
So far. She seems mentally very sound.
That's a great question to ask. Just right out of the gate.
No, she seems mentally on the straight and narrow.
Do you ever get like? I guess she's not old enough, but I always think like, I'm naturally a little bit anxious if you ask her, like, I'd be so scared I'm going to kill my baby. My baby would die till I have the baby. And then I'd be scared I'm going to kill my baby as it's growing up. And then I guess if it started putting coloured blocks together, I'd be like, it's put three yellows in a row. It's got, you know, it's going to have something.
I think, weirdly, I reckon until when the baby comes along, mostly you relax. Like, I think you're more stressed during pregnancy because that's when it feels like more could go wrong.
Right.
And then the baby comes out, and then once the baby's out, you're just in it. So it's fine. You're like looking after a baby, and actually, you realise very quickly how hardy they are, and you know they are. But basically, obviously, they're totally reliant on you, but also they are a little human who just wants to thrive. So you realise that they're pretty hard wearing.
You're breastfeeding it, or.
I mean, I'm not, but
you're right.
Hannah's breastfeeding exclusively. So the baby was 10 weeks old and has only had breast milk up until now.
When do you give it some mashed up peas? What's that age?
They say between four, you don't want to go no earlier than 4 months, but normally 6 months is the NHS guideline. So yeah, we've still got, almost over 3 months until. Yeah, what I do now is though, whenever I'm eating, I hold a bit under her nose so she gets a little sense of the smell.
Okay. I thought you, Mum. I have a little kiss of Anna's boo. Have a little suck on noses.
My mother said, my mum told me that her breast milk was so good when she was in the hospital that they were giving it to the other babies. Like her breast milk was in demand.
Mum is a liar, Trev. This is what we just worked out.
Like the other nurses brought a bucket and started milking him.
They were milking him and putting it in bottles and then just sharing it around the ward. Fucking
it's a weird thing to show off about. It's a weird thing to show off about. Other babies drunk my milk.
On the very early on, Hannah was breastfeeding, and basically what happens is it's an amazing thing to watch because when you basically, when you, Hannah sees Twyla looking like she's hungry, she starts producing milk. So it actually starts dripping. Cool. So when she's feeding from one side, it's often the other side is, just starts dripping because it, you know, it's just the process has begun.
It's, and, like cooler, it's like a cooler version of Alexa. You just, instead of saying it, you just look and then milk comes out some boobs.
But so Hannah, early on, had a little, like, just a little receptacle underneath her right boob, just collecting some milk. And I thought, I've got to have a go, innit? I've got to try that.
Got to try it.
So it's a little, I just had a little thimble full just to see what you're saying. Yeah. And bear in mind, I when I gave up milk and went vegan, I didn't like milk. I thought it tasted a bit gross. And you know, it's absolutely delicious. It's the nicest milk I've ever tasted. It's like, imagine, it's basically, you know what it tastes like? It tastes like sweet milk. Like, it's got like, it feels like it's got like sweetener in it. It's really bloody delicious. That was the last I've had that. I don't want to become an addict and start sucking on Hannah's boobs.
I was worried you were going to go. I had one thimble, and after that, I was fucking chugging the stuff.
Literally, Hannah falls asleep, and I just dive on it. Yeah, it's lovely. Why wouldn't you try it? Seeing as, you know, you are.
That's just a bit. You've got no real moral. It's not moral, I guess, but you've got very
really disgusting about. You know, you can use semen in cooking. You know, there's like a pig elite semen. Yeah, there's a cookbook. A bloke brought out a cookbook, sort of cooking with semen.
Oh,
all these dishes where you actually use semen.
Yeah,
as the maybe the main ingredient.
But I definitely think there's a massive difference between breast milk and semen, and that one is definitely a foodstuff. The other one is
cheese. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Cooking with semen sounds like an Alan Partridge TV suggestion, where David Seaman, the ex Arsenal and England goalkeeper,
does cooking. It's fucking disgusting, isn't it?
Or it's like a Jamie Oliver thing where he goes and teaches the Navy how to cook.
These Navy dinners are not up to scratch.
Gordon Ramsay's in there. Oh, fuck
this,
me.
This bloke said he cooked it.
Yeah.
He cooked it.
You call that jizz? Yeah.
You call that jizz, big boy? Hey, fuck me. Wow.
I jizz more when I'm crying. Yeah.
But he said he cooked a meal with it. He said he cooked a meal of pasta with his own semen.
Oh, God.
Then he invited his mother over for a meal.
Oh, come on.
That's fucking. It's fucking,
that is, this guy is not, should not have been given a book deal.
This guy should not have been allowed to print his words.
Yeah,
I don't want to have a word of his publisher.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Julia said I should mention my... I've got this here and... She said I should mention cleaning out the garage, which I decided to clean out the garage anyway, and I had a lot of stuff in there. And
What did you find in there? What treasures from your past?
Well, it was like a paper trail of my life for the last 35 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Any good stuff?
Letters and postcards, and so.
What was?
I went down there.
Oh? Are you going to tell us anything that was on them, or just?
Well, what happened was I went down there to clean it out, and I didn't realize I had so much, and I had to go through everything, so I didn't throw anything out useful. And then I found letters and postcards and Christmas cards from my mum and dad.
Oh, that's nice.
Which really upset me. It was very upsetting, actually.
Yeah.
I found it really hard to go through it, because I was worried about coming across, you know, things like that, which, you know, I treasure in a way, but at the same time, I found it really upsetting to come across them.
Yeah.
And, you know, letters from the mum and, you know, the way they signed off and all those little personal things. And Julie had to come down and I said, I'm finding it really hard to cope with this, you know what I mean? So she came down and sort of helped me through it. It was quite an emotional, it took a couple of days too. So
I was
down there and I thought, fuck, it just made me cry a few times. Actually,
I really bet it would.
Sort of very sad sort of thing. And then I put all my mum and dad's letters and that to one side, and then I sent them off to my sister in Adelaide because I said put them in the Crook archives, and so the future generations of crooks can fucking read them or something. But eventually I did it. I cleaned the garage out and I felt very, it was like an experience. It's like an emotional experience. And when you come out the other end, you feel better for it. I don't know, you feel somehow unburdened or,
yeah,
you know.
Well, it's like, have you ever watched Hoarders? One of them shows where it's about people that have got, you know, they've got mental health issues, but they just hoard everything in their life. So yeah, every room in their house is just full of stuff. And like they, you know, they're so scared of throwing anything out or getting rid of them. Actually, you see them once it's clear and they suddenly feel, the lack of burden from their past, essentially.
I'm not like OCD like Trev, but I hate untidiness to the fact where if I know, like even right now, I've got some washing that's on a thing in a place in my apartment is there.
Yeah.
And that's annoying. Like I wouldn't be able to concentrate. Like I can't actually relax without. So when you do clean, when you do fully clean out something, and it's all like neat and it's very relaxing actually. Definitely. In a way.
I put some things in the bin, and then later on, I thought, what did I put in the bin? I began to really fret. I'd put clothing. I maybe shouldn't have thrown that out. And I went back looking through the rubbish again, and like pulling out fucking old pairs of underpants and going, oh, maybe you should keep them. And then, I just thought, I just had to let go. I found it very difficult. I mean, I kept going down to the bins all the time and circling the fucking bins and not being able to go in.
Circling the bins. Yeah. Start a fight on the bins.
Yeah. And then some of the stuff was right at the bottom of the bin, so I could nearly fell in the fucking bin trying to get stuff out again. And then eventually I had to say, this is fucked, you know what I mean? I've really got to let go of this shit. I mean, I have underpants and socks and they're bad for like 30 fucking years. Ridiculous. But some bloke that won't, kind of emotional attachment.
If you're a bloke that won't even hold a door handle for germs, but you're fucking diving head first into a
bin diving for some pants.
Yeah, I know. And I...
You have to fret the phrase bin diver for like...
They're very, quite big sized bins. You have to basically dive in like a fucking Charlie Chaplin movie.
Right, what size? Not a wheelie bin size.
It's a wheelie bin, but they're very big ones for the whole block of flats.
Oh, it's a full size wheelie bin. Bloody hell.
Yeah. And then one time I got the wheelie bins mixed up and I couldn't find my stuff in the wheelie bin because, you know, there was like 12 or 14 bins. And it was a bit like Jack Lemmon in The Days of Wine and Roses. You know, when you ever see that movie? And he was a recovering alcoholic and he hit a bottle in his father-in-law's greenhouse and he put it under a pot. And when he came back to get a drink, there was about a million pots there.
Oh,
and he looked under each pot and he couldn't find his bottle. He went totally berserk. Smashed the whole fucking place up. And I felt a bit that way with the bins, that there was a bit of my clothing in one of them, but I couldn't fucking find it. And I began fucking panicking a bit like Jack Lemmon in that fucking movie. And then I thought, I've got to end this. This is fucking ridiculous. You know what I mean?
Was that in Sydney?
Yeah.
Was Julia with you?
Yeah, Julia's with me, but I'd sneak down there when she, you know, on my own sometimes and fucking, and then ponder whether I should get stuff out.
Yeah, do a couple of laps, there, you know what I mean? And then dive into some bins.
And then when it came back out on the Tuesdays, the bins had been taken away and it was gone anyway. And I felt like
a relief,
enlightened, and fucking great.
Sometimes the intervention of it being done out of your hands
could have ended. Imagine that ended horribly. Trevor could have been in the bin at the wrong time. What happened to Trev?
Ended up in a bin truck.
He's in a landfill on the other side of
the world. That's right.
Found them. Found my trainers.
I did think of that. I thought, what do they do? Because I want all my clothing chopped up and recycled. I don't want one of my shirts in a landfill. It'll be thinking about, fuck, where's my shirt? It's in a landfill somewhere.
Would you never give it to charity? And like, what's your thoughts on somebody else wearing your clothes?
No, I don't like people, somebody wearing my clothes. So
why?
I don't know. It's like the clothes are still.
I know why, Trev. Because if you're walking down the street and you saw someone wearing it, you fucking jump on it.
I need it. There's my fucking shirt. Give it me back. You know, get to that point. Because I just felt like when my clothes, I'm no longer wearing them. I want them chopped up where they no longer become an issue. They're in bits and pieces, or they've been recycled.
You treat your clothes like now, most people treat a credit card. You're like, you've got to just shred that.
I like giving clothes to charity shops. I like the thought of them living on after me, like to somebody.
No, I threw a shirt away after a gig about 12 years ago, and it was quite a good shirt. But I thought I had to get rid of it because it was just a bad fucking vibe about that club. I didn't want to wear the shirt. I put it in the bin, and then even now I go, I wonder what happened to that fucking shirt. It could still be out there somewhere, looking for its master.
Finding Trevor.
Like
a dog looking for his master. I've got probably
Pixar's been filming about that shit.
Looking for his master.
Exactly, it does sound like.
You have to let go of this fucking insanity. You drive yourself fucking mad.
Definitely.
Julie said when I talked to her on Skype, I look like I've slid down a wall. You know how this fucking t-shirt bunches up? It looks like I've slid down the wall. I have to keep straightening up. I look.
What other business have you got on your list?
What else is on your list of?
I went to a hearing aid. Julia said, Julia's always saying to me, saying something, and I go, what was that? What? I'll say hey a lot. And then she said, you're going fucking deaf. And she didn't swear. She just said, you're going deaf, Trevor. You need some help. And she arranged a hearing test for me at some hearing place in Punchbowl, which is another shithole in between Bankstown and there. Next suburb down.
Nice. Sounds great.
And so I went there and they gave me a hearing test and they said, for my age, my hearing's not that bad. I've lost about 34% hearing in each ear. I think I've got 65% in one ear and 64% in the other. So they're about even.
Very specific. I didn't know they could be that specific. Yeah. How do they test it? How do they know what
100% was? That's what I mean.
Do they whisper just quieter and then... And when you can't hear them, like, how do they tell?
What they do, they put you in a booth and they give you headphones on, and then they first they do the beeping sound, beep beep beep. What's happened? Oh.
That was fucking weird. Sure,
there you are. And they get ever decreasing tonal, like to turn the volume down. And you do that when you can't hear it. You don't put your thumb up or your hand
right.
up. And then they do different sounds, different tones. And then they have a word test where they, all types of words, different emphasis on certain words. And if you hear it or if you can hear them, you repeat that that's the word. Then you have to repeat it.
Right.
And they judge, okay, you got 8 out of 10, right?
And Chinese whispers from strangers.
Well, over a period of, and some of the words are very similar. So at the end of the test, they more or less know where your weaknesses are in regard to certain words or certain tones or whatever.
Can I just check, were the people doing the test Chinese? Because that would be quite fun. If they were. Eh? Were the people, because it sounds like you were playing Chinese whispers. What was the culture of the people doing the test?
Well, you come out and they said, What do you think? And then I
don't worry about it. Don't worry about the question. You just lost. You just failed my hearing test. I just gave you.
Trevor's like, I didn't enjoy that question. I'll just tell you what I want to tell you, mate. Called babysitting Trevor, not babysitting Carl, mate. What else is on the list before I go to bed, Trev?
You what? Oh yeah, got
irony. What else is on your list of topics before I go to sleep?
Okay, all right. Yeah, you look very tired, actually.
No, Trev, what? Put your fucking hearing aids in, you deaf bastard. What's on the list? What else is on your list?
Fucking hell. Ever since we mentioned hearing, my fucking hearing deteriorated.
It's gone down to 61%.
No, it's hearing all right before. Then we get the fucking hearing aids and suddenly go deaf. The Fetish Club sent me an email. They said they've closed. That's fucking
tragic.
What, for good? They've closed forever?
It looks like it's for good. The social distancing fucks up all most sexual
behaviour. It is hard to piss on someone from that far away, I suppose.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it depends how much, once you get older, the power of the stream dies off a bit.
That's right. You have to be able to piss 1.5 metres.
Yeah.
But I thought, that's a pretty sad day for all the perverts out there. And I sent them an email saying that I enjoyed their nights and that I'd really miss their company. And, you know, what am I going to, yeah, fucking, you say.
Have a coffee one day.
Can I say related to that, Trev? Someone I know out here, our neighbour, she's a single lady. She met a guy on an app who came over to hers and was kind of talking about stuff. And he's like, he's into pleasuring women. He's very relaxed sexually. He owns a sex club, which has had to shut down for the time being due to COVID. And he runs it with his uncle. And I was like, okay. And then I found out the thing and I looked it up and I was like, looking at the reviews, people are very nice in these reviews. They're like, they go, it's one of the cleanest ones I've ever been to. You can tell they clean a hot tub at least once a day. It's like, who the fuck is, how, who's bringing their fucking a little test tube? How much jizz is it?
That's the pH level and the chlorine.
There's hardly enough to cook with in here.
People have been very creative now with the coronavirus, and the people always get around things, don't they? And they get around coronavirus very cleverly in some ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the new thing with like Skype stuff, or you could have dogging, couldn't you? You could have a dogging service where, you know, you spend 1.5 meters away, and that'd work quite well, actually.
Well, I've seen photos of all the driving gigs in the UK, and they look like just mass dogging events, essentially, don't they? Loads of cars in a car park. Honking their horns.
Is that what they do when you dog? You honk your horn?
I've never been to dog.
I don't know whether you want to keep a low or a high price. I guess it depends.
I suppose it depends, yeah.
How crowded a field.
We should all go to a dogging one. You want to go to when I'm back in England, I'll come back next year. We'll go to a dogging night one night.
Perfect reunion.
Yeah. Chris, you can fly back for it. Book your flights. We're going dogging, lads.
Imagine that. Donald Trump like closes the border. I can't get in. Why did he leave?
Before we wrap up, just I don't know. Dogging, I understand, is people having sex in cars while other people watch. So you're talking
about...
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
You want us to be viewers. We'll be around the car.
Yeah.
Having a watch and a chat.
Yeah, to be fair.
Is there any pressure to masturbate?
You can masturbate, or sometimes someone comes out of a car and you get, like, you know, pretty hot action.
Apparently. Oh, right, okay.
You come out of the car.
So, but it's up to you. I mean, you don't have to.
It's like a 3D movie to come out and come. Oh, they come towards me. I take my goggles off. Get back in the fucking car, you weirdo.
Yeah. But I thought it might be interesting because I've never been to a dogging night, and I thought it sounds like a cultural experience.
I'll keep my ear to the ground to see if there's any local dogging going on.
It doesn't feel like a Willesden thing. It feels more like the countryside thing.
It does feel a bit, yeah, definitely. The outskirts. You know where it would be? Them sort of weird satellite towns like Red Hill and places like that.
Yes.
Them little edges of London, man. That's where doggers are.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Sussex.
I did see one advertised, I think, in Croydon, which is on the outer boundaries of London, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Very. Croydon, it wouldn't be in the city centre, though. It's a very busy, built-up area.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
On the edges, sort of.
Yeah, maybe. On the edges of it.
Yeah.
I'd like to give that a fucking go before I die. Why not?
Cool. Yeah, put it on a list, mate.
All right, guys, that was Trevor. That was Carl. This was Babysitting Trevor, the pandemic edition. Trevor, as always, amused us and has kept me sane during this troubling time. If you enjoyed it, just keep, we'll put up another one at Mystery Time because they're fun to do.
Yeah, stay safe.
Stay safe.
Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin and Trevor Crook, and is produced by Joel Porter.